Bibles and turn to Genesis this evening, and I figure we just kind of start at the beginning and just kind of go through the whole thing tonight, because I mean we don't have anywhere else to go, and so I figure we just cover the whole thing, just start in Genesis and go all the way through. But turn to Genesis 24, and in all seriousness, I'm going to read several verses, and you are probably familiar with this account here. And I want to kind of draw some thoughts out of really one verse, but I'm going to read several to get kind of the whole story and the whole context, rather than just going through and explaining it. I'd rather God just tell it all to us the way He said it. Amen. And so Genesis chapter 24, since we are going to read so many verses, I'll not ask you to stand tonight, but begin reading with me in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 24. It says, "And Abram was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Don't you want that to be the testimony at the end of your days, when you're old and well stricken in age, that it'd be said that the Lord has blessed you in all things? I know that's what I desire. Amen. Says verse 2, "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. The servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted, let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. She hasted, emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again under the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? She said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And here's my text verse tonight. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And I'll end off reading there. Again, my text verse is verse 27. And I want to give you a few thoughts tonight, kind of out of this passage. And you can look and see examples of this in passages and all through Scripture. You can see examples and illustrations of what we're going to deal with tonight. But I want to give you some thoughts and preach to you on divine providence. Divine providence. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people, and thank you for the assembly and being able to come to the house of God and to sing hymns, to pray together, to fellowship one with another, to exhort one another, and Lord, to have your word, and Lord, to read it and teach it, and Lord, to preach it, and Lord, to have it preached. And Lord, I just thank you so much for the blessing of the Lord's day. And I pray that you would give us what we need, Father, to go on for you in these last days. I pray that you would teach us of your word, that you would teach us of yourself. And Lord, you would do a mighty work in the hearts of your people tonight. Help us, Lord, to know more about you and Lord, to be drawn closer to you in these days. I pray for that lost soul that might be among us tonight, Lord, that you would, Lord, convict that heart and Lord, that they'd be born again, Lord, this night. And Lord, I pray that your people would be drawn closer to you and you'd help us to be what you want us to be in these days. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, this passage here, again, I read several verses here, and I guess probably maybe half the chapter or close to it or so. I did that just to kind of get the whole context. I know we've probably all read this passage before, maybe heard it preached. And really what this passage here, it's really a beautiful story of Abraham sending his eldest servant back to Nahor, his homeland, to retrieve a wife for his son Isaac, to find him a bride. And I tell you, there's so much truth and so much doctrine and so much practical teaching that can even be done here. And it gives really some excellent guidelines, really what to look for and how to look for a mate, a bride. From Isaac's perspective, he was doing God's will. He was doing what God wanted to do, and God brought him that bride. And then from her perspective, she was doing what she was supposed to do and doing God's will, obeying her daddy and just serving where she was at. And she was a hard worker. And I mean, there's so much that can be seen there, and that's another sermon for another day. But I'm telling you, it's a tremendous passage to give an example of how to find and what to look for in a mate. It's worth saying, you know, she fed, gave all that water to all those camels. And I've heard the numbers before, and I can't recall them now, but all the amount of gallons of water that a camel can consume at one time. And that's just unreal, the amount of water that camels can consume. And she gave enough for 10 of them. And she kept going until they were all done drinking. And so that shows that she was a hard worker. She was committed to what she was doing. I mean, just so many things that could be said about this passage. But really, the most prominent thing in this chapter, the most prominent, I guess, focus in this chapter is the working and the blessing of this servant through this thing of divine providence. And God really worked on behalf of the servant Abraham, of Abraham. Really, he worked on the behalf of Abraham, and he worked on the behalf of this servant. And he did it through divine providence. And this servant really was just trusting the Lord. He was doing what he was told to do. He was doing the will of his master. He was just fulfilling the commitment and being obedient. But he did not know how this was going to play out. In fact, he had his doubts and had his concerns at the very beginning when he told Abraham, listen, I can go and I can find a woman, but she ain't going to follow me back here. I mean, shouldn't I take Isaac with me? See, that's the natural mind. That's the flesh's mindset, that we put things together and, well, I've got to do this, that, and the other to make it all work out. And that's the way this servant was thinking too. But Abraham said, no, do not take him with you. You go, you find a servant, and you just do it. And if it don't work out, it don't work out. But I want you to do it this way. And that's what he did. He just did it that way. He did it the way he was commanded to do it. And unknowingly, God brought it all together in ways that probably he would have never thought it would have come together. And he did it with divine providence. And you know, that's the way it's going to work in your life and in my life. Do you know that life, and really a success in life and a successful Christian life, serving God, doing His will, doing it right, you know, raising your family right, living for God, having a successful ministry, just doing God's will, doing it right, having any success, generally speaking, is going to be a long road of very simple happenstances, very simple things coming together in their own way and in their own time. Life is rarely made up of big, huge firework events. Generally, a successful life, and especially a successful Christian life, is generally a long chain of very small, divine, providential, happenings and circumstances, events, where God puts it all together to make this beautiful picture of grace in the life of a person who is serving Him. A lot of times we get caught up in, the big things and the big events where things just kind of, and that's just the flesh, that's just humanity. That's why every movie and that's why every good story has like this big peak to it, right? Where it all comes together and, you've got all the cowboys and there's the good guys and the bad guys, and the bad guys are trapped in this house and the good guys got it surrounded and all these things have happened, and it comes down to this one big shootout and everybody's shooting and the bullets are flying and the dust is flying and the dust settles and the good guys have taken the bad guys and they live happily ever after. It all comes down to this one big event, right? Well, that makes a good story, makes a good movie, makes things interesting, but that generally is not how your life is going to be. It's going to be a string of simple events where God just brings things together in the right way at the right time through this thing of divine providence. I want to give you a few thoughts on this thing, and I tell you what this does, this teaching or this thought, being reminded of this, is so important because what it does, it helps us to trust the Lord more. It helps us to lean on Him more and realize, kind of, I guess maybe piggybacking off of what we dealt with this morning, it helps us to trust Him, know that He's in control. Because, listen, it's not always going to be a big event. You just look for God in the little things, the little details. God will bring things together. Let me give you some thoughts on this. First of all, regarding this thing of divine providence, I want us to notice, first of all, in this passage, the consequences of divine providence. You notice that He came here and He's traveled to a long ways away. He's traveled to Nahor, down to Mesopotamia. I mean, it's a long ways away from there in Canaan. He's taken this long journey, taking all these camels, taking all this stuff, and He's made this long journey down to people that He's likely never met. He doesn't know any of these people. I mean, it's likely this servant was raised in Canaan. He doesn't know these people, going to a place he possibly has never even been to. He doesn't know anything about the place that he's going, and he travels, and he comes to a well, and lo and behold, he just happens to sit by this well of water about the time that the women come out to draw water, and it just so happens that divine providence brought this servant in a strange place, in a strange land, among strange people, brought him into contact with none other than Abraham's brethren. Of all the people in the world, he happens to come to this particular well and gets in contact with the specific people he needs to get in contact with. Isn't that right? And so, and that's important because Abraham's brethren, they are of whom he was to obtain a bride for Isaac. are the exact people he needed. And divine providence gave this servant a successful trip. If he'd have done this on his own, it's like a 1 in 1 million chance that it worked out. But divine providence was on his side. The unseen hand was guiding him all the way. And God was putting things together. And God had that girl coming out of the city at the right time. And had him stopping at that well at the right time. And put all these things together in his way and in his timing. And God did it for him and gave him success. And this is what you need to know. The consequences of divine providence is success. And that's the only way to have success. Amen? Listen, the consequences of you doing it your way and me doing it my way and making up my mind that I'm just going to make things work, you'll never make it work. God has got to breathe on us, and God has got to bless us, and God got us. He's got to open doors and close doors and put things together. And by the way, that's why we should never be upset when a door closes. That's why we should never be upset when things don't work out, because at the end of the day, all you can do is your best. And if you know in your heart you've done your best, and you've tried to serve God, and you've tried to obey God, you can pillow your head with a sweet consolation that I tried my best to do God's will. And if the door closes, and God knows, and where one door closes, another door opens, and God's divine providence will be on your side and give you success, because that's what happened here. That is the consequence of divine providence. See, we're dependent on this thing of providence more than we realize. Listen, a successful life is not just a long stream of good choices. Good choices are important. And you've got to choose to do God's will and choose to do right. We make the choice every day to serve God or not serve God, to do right or not do right. I mean, that's what that dying daily, we talk about this one, that's what that's all about. But listen, success in your Christian life is not one of your good choices after another. No, it's you doing God's will and His divine providence putting things together for you and for me. Amen? I tell you, listen, I've not been in the ministry long, but I have been in it long enough at this point to realize and to learn that it does not matter what I do or what you do or how much I do or how much you do. It don't matter how much you pray. It don't matter how much you work. It don't matter how much you invite. It don't matter how much you witness. It don't matter. That doesn't matter if God doesn't breathe on it and if God doesn't put it together. That's just a fact. Isn't that right? And it's the same, that is so true in ministry. That is so true in church growth. Listen, I was just thinking this afternoon, you know, you can read all the church growth books you want to. And people can go to all the church growth seminars they want to. But if they're going to do it God's way and it's going to be right and it's going to matter in eternity, listen, God, at the end of the day, God's got to do it. Amen. We've got our responsibility, and we got things we're supposed to be doing, and we're supposed to be preaching the gospel, and we're supposed to be busy about the Father's work. Amen. But at the end of the day, the results are up to God. Isn't that right? I don't care how hard you preach, how straight you preach, how mean you preach, or nice you preach. You can't make somebody love God. I can't make you love God. Amen. And so I'm just saying that is so true in ministry. But listen, it's so true in your life, in my life, our home life, our marriages, as parents, on the job. I mean, everywhere we go, we are fully dependent, more than we realize, on divine providence. Thing is, we just go through our life day to day so much and we get into the routine of life that we kind of forget, you know, that God has got to really keep all this going for us. The sun has come up and the sun has gone down so many times in our life like clockwork that we just expect the sun to come up in the morning. But if God don't make it come up, it ain't coming up. And I know that's a big, you know, grand scheme of things thing there, but the thing is, even the little things in your life, if God doesn't work it out, it's just not going to work out. Divine providence is so important. So God must work in our circumstances if we are going to succeed in anything. God's got to work in our circumstances. He's got to do it. And so we see the consequences of divine providence. The consequences that this servant saw success. And that's the only way to see success. Number two, I want you to notice the character of divine providence. This man here, this eldest servant of Abraham, we find in his life is what we find here in this passage, or in his life from this passage, is that the providential incidences that he saw in this situation here, they were in character very simple incidences. I alluded to that just a little bit ago. They were just little simple incidences, such as just coming to the well just at the same time that Rebekah was coming to the well. I mean, on the surface, I mean, just looking at it for what it is, it's a very simple thing. It's a very simple happenstance, so to speak. He happened to be at the well just at the same time she was coming to the well. And it's just a very simple thing. There was no fireworks. There was no great pinnacle, no great peak, just like in the movies. There was none of that. There was no music, dramatic music playing in the background. He just showed up at the time she happened to be showed up. And it's a very simple incident. But, you know, it's been said many times that great doors swing on small hinges. And generally, the greatest life-changing events in your life and in my life, in ministry, on the job, in the family, they're generally going to take place with a very small, simple incident. Something little. Often the way divine providence works in our lives is exactly like this. See, the greatest changes in life can occur by something that is seemingly small. They think, well, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, you wouldn't even think anything about it. It could just be as simple as a phone call. The right phone call by the right person at the right time. Or getting some letter, some timely letter in the mail. Or just like in our text, it could be simply meeting someone in a store or in church or on the job or some other place. You just meet, happen to run into the right person. And we'd say, you know, the world would say, well, that's just, you know, it's just happenstance. It would just, you know, happen to happen that way. But we know that it's God's divine providence. It's God's unseen hand. It's God's working things out for us. It's divine providence. This is all the more reason to trust God in everything. I remember whenever me and Hannah were engaged and we were planning on getting married, and we were planning on getting married in just a few months. And I mean, I was working a little job, and I was kind of out on my own at the time. But the job I was working, I wasn't making no money. And I was trying to figure out. I really felt in my heart, this is what God wants. Like, God wants us to get married. It seemed like the only logical thing to do. You know, like God just put it together. And by the way, that's how you know when you're supposed to get married. Because God will give you peace about it in your heart, and it'll just seem like the only thing that seems to make sense anymore. Nobody's fighting it, and it's not a bunch of drama. It just seems like that's what makes sense, you know. That's the way it was. Like, it just made sense. Like, we just need to get married. And I felt like it's what God wanted, but I wasn't making enough money, and I didn't know how I was going to raise a family. I didn't know how I was going to afford to do it. Didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know. I was just doing the best I could. And just trusting the Lord. Had my feelers out for jobs and stuff, and I was preaching. I was a young preacher at the time, you know. I didn't know how this was going to work. I still don't know how it's going to work. All I know is God's taking care of me up to this point. But we were engaged. We were planning on getting married in just a few months. And I didn't know how in the world I was going to be able to support a wife and a family and all these things. And it just so happened one day. You hear that? It just so happened that there was a job opening out at Aberdeen RV Center, and they put it out on Facebook, and I didn't know nothing about Aberdeen RV Center. I didn't know nothing about campers. I didn't know nothing about any of that stuff. And a friend of a friend just tagged me in that post, just put my name on that post and tagged me on that post, and didn't say anything, just tagged my name, and that was it. And they just commented on there and said, you know, tell this guy to call up here and talk to so-and-so, and, you know, we'll interview him, whatever, and I didn't know anything about any of it. It just so happened. I went up there and interviewed for the job. They offered me a job and got the job. I mean, I didn't know anything. I didn't know how it was going to work out. I'd never done straight commission sales. I'd never gotten paid once a month, you know. I'd never done that stuff. But, you know, I prayed about it. I thought it was what God wanted me to do. And I'm telling you, God provided. God put that thing together. God blessed us in that. And I mean, God just worked things out. And even today, I mean, we're reaping the benefits of all that God did through that little thing, that little hinge, that great door that swung on that small hinge, the people He put us in contact with that we, you know, that are still in our lives now, and the things He was able to do. And it all happened by just one little just so happened. It just so happened. And I'm telling you, that's the way God's going to work in your life and in my life. And that's why we ought to trust Him. Because before the day is over, you don't know what providential thing might come together for you. If there's something in your life and you don't know how it's going to work out, how it's going to play out, there's unanswered questions. Anxiety, like we talked about this morning, has got more questions and it's giving you answers in your life. Listen, you just trust the Lord, because you don't know how before this thing is over with, how some little thing is going to be the small little incident that's going to change everything. And all we can do is just trust Him. Because here's the thing, even if that little small incident doesn't come, He's still going to take care of us anyways. Amen? And so I'm just simply saying that is the character of divine providence. It's a small incident that we find here. And really that's what you find throughout all divine providence. You know, God can use small incidents to completely change somebody's life. A very small incident may, just like in our text, may lead to a marriage. A very small incident may lead to a much-needed job or an important career change or a ministry opportunity or God just putting things together in the right way. A very small incident. And the world calls it luck. World calls it chance. Flesh calls it happenstance. But I tell you what we know it as. We know it as God's divine providence. The unseen hand leading us all the way. Number three, I want you to notice and think about the condition of divine providence. The condition here. This servant makes a very important statement in our text. It says, "And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abram." By the way, that ought to always be our response when God puts things together for us. Bless the Lord. Thank the Lord for doing this, because you and me hadn't done anything. God's the one doing it. And so, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, he says, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And by the way, God will never leave us destitute. Amen? Whenever we get to the end of our rope, God divinely is going to still provide and bring things together for us. Even Abraham, at the end of his life, and he's old and stricken in years, God is still providing for him. He hadn't forgot him. And God's not going to forget you. And God's not going to forget me. God's going to take care of us. He makes this statement. He says, I being in the way. He goes on to say, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. But the important phrase there is, I being in the way. See, the condition, that right there, that fulfills the condition of divine providence right there. The condition is being in the way. You've got to be in the way if God is going to work. One man said, you know, faith is not leaning on a shovel and praying God will give you a hole. That's not the way it works. I tell you what faith is. Faith is God provided me a shovel. And God provided me the health and the strength to dig. And then that's it, the ability, the faculties. God has provided me the health and the ability and the tool that I need. And I need a hole, and God's provided me all the means to get a hole. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get in the way. Amen? I need it. I've got to have this. And so I'm going to get in the way. I'm going to get to work. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing and trust God to provide the hole. And He may use me to provide the whole thing, or He may send somebody else to help provide, or He may send a big old bulldozer to come by in one big old scoop, get this hole dug. But either way, I'm going to make sure I'm in the way, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, using what God's given me to use, using it for His glory and honor, and I'm going to bless His name all the way. And either way, when it's all said and done, I'm going to have a hole. Whether God uses me to dig the whole thing or whether God provides some other way, I've got the shovel, I've got the ability, and by faith, I'm going to get this hole dug. That is faith. But it is certainly not sitting on the sidelines and hoping and praying that God's going to do something. Hoping and praying that something will just, you know that just boom, it'll happen. No, faith is trusting God and being in the way and doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so the condition for experiencing divine providence in a blessed way is obedience. That's what that phrase means, being in the way. That means I obeyed. I'm here because Abraham told me to come. And I'm doing what he told me to do. And I didn't know if it was going to work out or not. But by faith, I just came because it was what I was told to do. And that's the way the Christian life is. Listen, God didn't explain to us how everything is going to work out. And God doesn't tell us that, you know. I mean, He does love us, and thank God He does reveal some things to us. But listen, God doesn't owe you and owe me an explanation. He tells us what to do, tells us what not to do. He's given us a Bible, given us an instruction manual. He says, live this way. And what we're supposed to do is just be in the way. Just do what He tells us to do and let Him work out everything else. Our problem is, we want to get the cart before the horse. We want to see how it's all going to play out and then decide if I'm going to be willing to do it or not. God does not work that way. There is no faith in that at all. There's no faith. There's no faith in doing something when you know it's going to work out because you've seen how it's going to work out. Faith is God promising you it'll work out and you believing it and doing it even though you don't see how it's going to work out. And that is the condition. The condition for seeing God do great things and bring things together in divine providence is one word, obedience. I think a lot of the reason that a lot of us don't see today what the old timers saw in days gone by in regards to God providing, God doing different things, God bringing things together, this divine providence, the reason we don't see a lot of what the old timers saw is we're not in the way like they were. We just don't believe like they believed. I think about that book. I give you a copy of that book, The Autobiography of George Mueller. I was trying to come up with his name. If you ever get opportunity to read The Autobiography of George Mueller, you ought to read it. And I've got it. If you want it, I'll let you read it. You can borrow mine. You know, that's fine because you ought to read it. And I'm telling you, the man was a man of prayer, lived a life of faith and a life of prayer. And it says very early on in his autobiography, as he's recording the story of his life, he says very early on that he basically made up his mind that he would never make his needs known. He would never tell anybody about his needs. He would never, you know, he would never poor mouth. He'd never, you know, all those things. And I'm not necessarily against, you know, and I'm sure he wasn't against prayer requests and all those things. You understand that. We are to bear one another's burdens. I understand that. But he just simply said, I'm never going to make my needs known. I would never tell anybody except for God. And that's all he ever did. He only ever told God. And of course, he had that orphanage there. And there were times when they had nothing to eat. They had no money. They had nothing. And in divine, providential ways, God would always provide. Sometimes in the 11th hour. But they would pray, and they would pray, and they would pray, and God would always provide. And see, we don't see a lot of those things like he saw because we don't believe like he believed. We don't have the faith like he had. And the second somebody today has a need, instead of telling God, they're telling everybody on Facebook. It's the first place everybody goes. You know, everybody pray, you know, I got this need. And what they're hinting at is, listen, if somebody's out there can help me with this, you know, help me with this. Well, let's just be honest. That's what a lot of that stuff is. Facebook, social media, it's so much, you know, look at me, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Everybody look at me, look at me, look at me. And instead of telling who we should tell, we tell everybody else. I remember one story in his autobiography talking about them having no food. They got all these kids they got to feed, you know, and they had nothing. And they had prayed about it, and it came down to supper time. There was nothing to eat, and what they did was they just went ahead and sat around the table. They just all pulled up at the table as if they were about to eat, and there was nothing there. set the table, had everything, had all the plates and bowls and everything out there, and set the table, but there was no food whatsoever. And they sat there and they prayed over the meal. The meal that wasn't there. Lord, bless this meal. Thank you for it. Thank you for providing this meal. And they had nothing. And just as they were getting sat down, prayed over that meal, with nothing there, there was a knock on the door. And somebody in town said somebody that the Lord just put it on their heart. Lord had blessed them. They had extra. Lord had put it on their heart to bring this meal down to the orphanage and give it to them. And they feasted that night. Over and over and over. And I'm telling you, you can see that all through the Word of God. You can see it in Christians of days gone by where God has blessed. And I tell you what happens. It all comes from being in the way. You're not going to sit on the sidelines. And you're not going to do your will. And you're not going to go your way. And you're not going to do it your way. And you're not going to make up your mind. You're going to go your direction. Do it the way you want to do it. And see God provide like this. But if you'll get in God's way, if you'll get in the way, and you'll obey God and do His will, you'll always see Him do great things. So, the conditions, obedience. This obedience resulted in meeting the people He was supposed to meet really in the most productive way it could have happened. He could not have put it together better than the way God put it together. And that's what I've always found in my life. When I try to work things out and do it my way, I'm trying to put things together in really a lesser way than what God winds up putting it together. Now, simple obedience is mocked by the world and even mocked by your flesh. Your flesh will tell you, listen, this is never going to work out. It'll never work out. I mean, you believe in that Bible and you know God put it in your heart to do this or not do this, whatever. You know, that's never going to work out. And your flesh will mock you and friends and the world and the devil, it'll mock it. But the key, simple obedience is the key to every blessing. Every blessing. One man said that it's the key to many blessings. Well, I'll tell you this, obedience is the key to every blessing. Every blessing, it comes through obedience. And one of God's most choice blessings is this thing of divine providence. There you'd be hard-pressed to find a greater blessing in the Bible than divine providence. Because that's God working specifically and personally in your life and in what you're doing. So the message really is always the same. We look at things like divine providence and the anxiety this morning and all the different things that the Lord gives us in His Word. A lot of different things, but the message is always the same. And that is this, if you'll do His will, He'll take care of it all. Just trust Him. Trust Jesus and He'll take care of every need. But it comes through trusting Him and obeying Him. Divine providence. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. I thank You for Your Word, for helping us with it. And I pray that You'd help us all to trust You more. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to lean on You in these days. And Lord, just to make up our mind. Lord, as Daniel, Lord, to purpose in our heart, Lord, that we will do Your will. We'll do what You have us to do. And God, that Your providence, Lord, that we would trust it. And Lord, we'd lean on it. And Lord, knowing that You'll Lord, guide us through this walk of life and Your will be done. Lord, I pray that You'd bless each and every one of us, bless in the altar call. Help us, Lord, to do business with You, each of us that You've spoke to our hearts. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.